The Supplication on Fridays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, the first before the bringing forth and the giving of life, and the last after the annihilation of all things. The All-Knowing who forgets not him who remembers him, and decreases not him who thanks him, and disappoints not him who supplicates him, and cuts not off the hope of him who hopes in him. O Allah, I call thee to witness, and thou art sufficient witness, and I call to witness all thy angels, and the inhabitants of thy heavens, and the bearers of thy throne, and thy prophets, and thy messengers, whom thou hast sent out, and the various kinds of creatures thou hast brought forth, that I bear witness that thou art Allah. There is no God but thou, thou alone, who hast no associate nor any equal, and thy word has no failing nor any change. And that Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, is thy servant and thy messenger. He delivered to the servants that with which thou charged him, and he struggled for Allah as is his due. And he gave the good news of the truth of reward, and he warned of the veracity of punishment. O Allah, make me firm in thy religion as long as thou keepst me alive, and make not my heart to swerve after thou hast guided me, and give me mercy from thee. Surely thou art the giver. Bless Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, and make me one of his followers and his partisans, and muster me in his band, and give me the success of accomplishing the obligatory observance of Friday, and performing the acts of obedience which thou hast made incumbent upon me within it, and receiving the bestowal which thou hast apportioned for its people on the day of recompense. Thou, only thou, art the mighty ones.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, salam and salutations of Allah be upon all of you. Happy Eid and congratulations on the birthday anniversary of the great man Imam Ali alayhi salam.
يا من أتيت فزدت حبنا أسعدتنا وجمعت شملنا أنت هدية من الله لنا بعد انتظارنا لك طول السنة فيك السرور والهنا حمدا لك يا ربنا Let's enjoy this happy day. عيد مبارك, come on, let's celebrate. عيد سعيد, let's enjoy this happy day. عيد مبارك, come on, let's celebrate. Celebrate, let's celebrate. Allah, Allah, thank you for this day.
Today, Thursday, is the 13th of Rajab, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 7th of Isfand, 1399 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 25th of February, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar, and a great Eid for all Muslims, especially Shia Muslims all around the world. Please accept our congratulations on this Eid. We bless today's special by recitation of chapter Al-Ahzab, verse 33.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وقرن في بيوتكن ولا تبرجن تبرج الجاهلية الأولى وأقمن الصلاة وَأَقِمْنَا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتِينَا الزَّكَاةَ وَأَطِعْنَا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْسَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ وَيُطَهِّرَكُمْ تَطْهِيرًا.
And abide in your houses, and do not display yourselves as was the display of the former times of ignorance. And establish prayer, and give zakah, and obey Allah and His Messenger. Allah intends only to remove from you the impurity of sin, O people of the Prophet's household, and to purify you with extensive purification.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The application of the Arabic word innama here, which is usually for restriction, is an evidence that this merit of purity is only for the family of the Prophet, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his pure progeny. The infallibles, for the sake of divine aids and their own pure deeds, are in a state that they do not go towards sins, while they have power and authority to commit sin.
قد لسعت حية الهوى كبدي فلا تبي ولها ولا راغي.
Imam Ali and philosophy of religions. On the occasion of birthday anniversary of Imam Ali alayhi salam, we look at his philosophy of religions. Morality of life is another point which Imam Ali wanted men to realize fully, sincerely and rationally. He wants us to understand that death is a biological incident of all forms of life, and it is unavoidable, inevitable, and sudden. Nobody knows when and how he's going to cross his barrier. He says, "I am as fond of death as a baby is fond of his mother's breast." The natural sequence of the morality of life is that everything connected with it and with this world is mundane, has no lasting value. Therefore, why concentrate on pleasure and take to vicious ways to acquire them? Why not try to improve your lot for the hereafter? Imam Ali's teachings are gospel for work. He wants men to work, and to work honestly, sincerely, and to work for the rewards reserved in paradise. Imam Ali says, Work, work, and do good work while you still have life, health, and opportunities. Allah ordains you to work while there is still time to work. Congratulations on the birthday anniversary of Shia's first Imam, Imam Ali. Peace be upon him. Dr. Fakhr Rouhani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bin astain. Concerning in knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the words of Imam Ali alayhi salam, it's indicated that once a person by the name of Tha'lab al-Yamani asked Imam Ali alayhi salam whether Imam Ali alayhi salam descends Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Imam Ali alayhi salam indicated that would it be possible that I wouldn't appreciate any phenomenon, any being, yet I worship him? It means that Imam Ali alayhi salam not only discerned the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, rather he was sure that in every single phenomenon that might be imagined, the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is evident. He indicated also, he observed, Ma'rifatullah subhanahu wa ala al-ma'arif, knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the highest type of knowledge. And al-ilmu billah afdalul ilmain, afdalul ilmain. Knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most virtuous of all knowledge.
الله مولاي وأنا مولى المؤمنين ألا من كنت مولاه فهذا علي مولاه اللهم وال من والاه وعاد من عاداه أيها الناس الحق دائما مع علي وعلي مع الحق.
IRIB English Radio and this program today's special presents Sermon 1 of Nahjul Balagha, Praise is Due to Allah.
أَنْشَأَ الْخَلْقَ إِنْشَاءً وَابْتَدَأَهُ ابْتِدَاءً بِلَا رَوِيَّةٍ أَجَالَهَا وَلَا تَجْرِبَةٍ اسْتَفَادَهَا وَلَا حَرَفَةٍ أَحْدَثَهَا وَلَا هَمَامَةِ نَفْسٍ اضْطَرَبَ فِيهَا أحال الأشياء لأوقاتها ولأم بين مختلفاتها وغرز غرائزها وألزمها أشباحها عالما بها قبل ابتدائها محيطا بحدودها وانتهائها عارفا بقرائنها وأحنائها.
الله initiated creation mostly initially and commenced it originally, without undergoing reflection, without making use of any experiment, without innovating any movement, and without experiencing any aspiration of mind. He allotted all things their times, put together their variations, gave them their properties, and determined their features, knowing them before creating them, realizing fully their limits and confines, and appreciating their propensities and intricacies. Dear brothers and sisters, Shia Muslims all over the world, please accept our congratulations on the birthday anniversary of Imam Ali alayhi salam.
Alhamdulillah الذي جعلنا من المتمسكين بولايته علي بن أبي طالب والأئمة المعصومين
Imam Ali and concentration in Salah, prayer. The degree of concentration possible will of course vary with individuals, but we must mention here the perfection in concentration achieved by Amir al-Mu'minin Imam Ali alayhi salam. In the Battle of Siffin, an arrow had pierced the thigh of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib. It was not possible to pull it out because of the unbearable pain it caused. When Imam Hassan alayhi salam was consulted in the matter, he told the people to just wait till his father stands for prayer and to remove the arrow while Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, was praying. Accordingly, the arrow was pulled out while Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib praying, and Imam Ali was totally oblivious of the excruciating pain. When Imam Ali alayhi salam stood for prayers, the world ceased to exist for him. His entire being was totally immersed in the contact he had established with his Creator and his relationship with him. In the Noble Quran, Surah Yusuf, verse 31, showed that when Prophet Yusuf went in front of the women, they cut their fingers but did not feel the pain. If the beauty of the Prophet Yusuf as a creature of Almighty removed pain, then when Imam Ali stood in the presence of Allah, all pain from removing the arrow was gone.
You can never do justice to thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you realize this, Allah says, I will accept that, and I consider you having done justice to me. Because once Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Prophet Musa alayhi salam, thank me, O Musa. Musa said, O Allah, how can I thank you? When the act of thanking you itself is a blessing that I need to thank you for. You enabled me to thank you. I'm using the tongue you have given me, the heart that you have given me to thank you. That in itself requires another thanks, and it will infinitely go like that. How can I ever thank you? Allah tells him, Musa, if you've realized that, you have thanked me. This realization in itself will do justice to the praise and the gratitude of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the Imam alayhi salam transitions to a very important discussion in theology about the attributes of the Almighty God. The Imam alayhi salam in this passage makes it very clear that we, as great as we can be in our intellectual capacity, we can never reach the essence of God. الَّذِي لَا يُدْرِكُهُ بُعْدُ الْهِمَمِ وَلَا يَنَالُهُ غَوْصُ الْفِطَنِ. The height of intellectual courage cannot come to fully appreciate God. And no matter how deep you dive into this infinite sea, you can never reach its full depths. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His essence is infinite. And I am finite. My intellectual capacities are finite. How can the finite encompass the infinite?
Congratulations on the birthday anniversary of such a great personality. I leave you in the protection and care of Allah, the Almighty. Fi amanillah.
لا إله إلا الله الله ربي محمد نبي علي إمامي لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي
لا إله إلا الله الله ربي
محمد نبي
علي إمامي.
لفت إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي.
Food for thought.
Salam and heartiest congratulations on blessed birthday of the gateway of the city of knowledge, Imam Ali, peace be upon him. Let us start the day by reflecting on fresh food for thought as bequeathed to us by the only person who was born in God's symbolic house, the Holy Kaaba in Mecca. O people, beware of fondness of this world, because it is the head of every sin, the door to every misfortune, the companion of every sedition, and the color to every disaster.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear listeners, welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. Firstly, obviously, on this auspicious day, we send our congratulations to the Imam of the time, Imam al-Sahib al-Asri wa al-Zaman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the right of this day, hasten his reappearance. And to all the Muslims throughout the world, especially those Muslims who cling to the wilaya and to the guardianship and to the authority of this individual, whose today is regarded as the birthday of Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib, the first person to accept Islam, the greatest of warriors, the one who we as Muslims take great pride in saying that we are of the same religion as this individual. That even people who are not Muslim, for example George Jodak, have claimed and have written books. He's just one individual and has titled his book Nusut al-Adala, or the voice of human justice, or the voice of justice. That is Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. Not much, you know, is possible from us to speak about such a great individual whose existence has filled the history books of Islam. And right up until this day, debates, you know, discussions around this great personality persist. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to truly grant us the ability and the opportunity and that great blessing of truly being able to understand the personality of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, inshaAllah. So in this, on the birth of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, also that in some countries you know, some people decide to do i'tikaf on these 3 days, the 13th, 14th, and 15th of this blessed month of Rajab. And people decide to go to the masjid and do seclusion or spiritual seclusion. And, you know, it's because of the blessing of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam that they do that. Even though i'tikaf is specific to the holy month of Ramadan, but, you know, it is not something that, you know, you cannot do in other months. And people have decided, because in certain countries, you know, these days are holidays, because of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, people have decided to go to the masjid and get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala via Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. So on this day, we recite a small tradition from Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, who says that hasad, or jealousy, is the worst and the most evil of diseases. And there's many reasons why we discussed this before. It destroys a person, and it can destroy that thing or that person in which this jealousy is targeted to. So it is an extremely dangerous disease in terms of its effects and in terms of the results, and also in terms of the spiritual well-being of the person who does it. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the right of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, that this great and evil disease of jealousy or hasad is removed from our hearts. And the only thing that is placed in our hearts is the love of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam and the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Inshallah, until next time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu Alaikum. The program Light Upon Light is a special program on the birthday anniversary of Amirul Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. One thing I really like about the Islamic Republic of Iran is that the special occasions are named after the occasions, the religious occasions. So, for example, today is known as Father's Day and Men's Day here. So I would like to congratulate all of the fathers and all of my fellow brothers in Islam out there. And inshallah, we're going to talk a little bit today about the role of fatherhood and why it's so important in Islam. In the studio with me is Dr. Rabia Batul Najafi. Salaam alaikum.
Wa alaikum salaam wa rahmatullah.
Thank you so much for coming here. And Eid Mubarak.
Thank you so much. Mubarak to you too.
So today we are celebrating a very special occasion, the birthday anniversary of a person who was the closest to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. We have in so many narrations that the Prophet praised him for his scientific abilities, for his ethical abilities, and he gave his most precious belonging to him as a form of amana, or a trust to live with and to have children with, his daughter, Lady Fatima, salamullahi alayha. So, back to the point where I started with, today's Father's Day and Men's Day here in Iran. And I would really like to take some time in a few moments today to talk about why it's so important to, you know, for fathers to play, why is their role as a father so important, and how can they make most use of their role as a father in the family?
Yeah, whatever we know about maybe most of the information about motherhood and even about fatherhood, you know, It's from Rasulullah, the final prophet, Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Amir al-Mu'mineen. We have only a little, unfortunately, because of the history, we don't have so much in detail the information about Bi Fatima Zahra sallallahu alayhi. So what it shows that literally hadith says when this ayah of chapter Tahrim, verse number 6 revealed, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. You have to guard yourself first and then your family from the fire of hell. So the ashab, the companion, you know, some of them, they started to weep, to cry. And they would say, how we can be a good father for our family members? And it's so tough because, first of all, you have, you know, Ya Rasulullah, you just keep telling us, ittaqullah, ittaqullah, yourself. Mm. And that was a big challenge for us. And now, how can we guard our family also from committing sins and whatever?
Right.
So then Prophet, he started to teach them, you know, to even to comfort them, because they would take it very seriously. So for ashab, for fathers, there's a big role. You know, unfortunately, we don't talk. Like, how many, like, we have hadith from some from Imam alayhi salam, from fathers, you know, like how they would treat with their children.
Mm-hmm.
So this is very, I don't know why we think that this is only mother's responsibility. Yeah. You know, just leave Imam Ali alayhi salam. I want to start from even other prophets. Like, this was the just habit and seerah and character of all Anbiya and Aima alayhi salam as a father. Like how Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, he says, "Afdalul a'mal hubbul atfal." Can you believe it? Like hub and having that affection and love, the expression of your emotion towards your children, is the best of the deed in near Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So the same thing is coming from Anbiya to A'imma alayhi salam. I literally remember, we all know that how kind he was towards the children of Medina, you know, Imam Ali alayhi salam. And once, you know, especially we say Abul Aitam, you know, one of the title of Imam Ali alayhi salam is the father of the orphans. Yeah. And once he went to one of the house of orphan, and definitely he used to visit them as a spiritual father, and he really wanted to make them happy. You know, he wanted to see, and the man should be full of emotions too, mm-hmm. when it comes to the family, you right. know. He's serious, definitely, he's focused, definitely, in his work. The moment he comes to the house, you know, we have to see the beautiful picture of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Like, one of the titles of Imam Ali alayhi salam is Zahaq, you know, Bukka'ul Layl, the one who cries at night, you know, the conversation with Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. But when it comes to, especially to the family members and the children,
laughing,
you know, cheerful, bright. So it I don't know why we're missing this area a lot.
Even the Prophet, if I'm not wrong, he would bend over and the kids, he would give kids rides, you know. And this is, we're talking about Rasulullah. You know, he's the Prophet, the seal of prophethood. He has the miracle of the Quran. He's going to make a change in history. And look how he's playing with the children and
children,
you know, giving
of Medina, ordinary children. Yeah. We have many stories. Not only, you know, some people, they think, oh, only for Imam Hassan. Imam Hussain, he was so kind, he would give right to them. No, once he was going to the mosque to lead, definitely, and
prayers.
Some children, prayers. And some children, they came as usual, because this was the norm, you know. Otherwise, if you are a serious person, you know, frowny person, no one comes,
but
it was a norm, you know. The moment Prophet used to go to the streets, you know, the children would just
surround
him. And then, you know, because it was namaz time, he didn't say this is namaz time. And the same character we can see in Imam Ali alayhi salam.
I'm
going
to have to stop you here about Imam Ali. Please remember what you wanted to say. We're going to go for a very short break from Light Upon Light on the auspicious birthday anniversary of Amirul Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, Father's Day and Men's Day. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
The commander of the faithful, Imam Ali, is the son of Abu Talib and Fatima bint Asad, two monotheists from the Hashemite clan, who were also descendants from Prophet Ibrahim and Ismail. Abu Talib was the beloved uncle of the God's messenger, and so Imam Ali was the Prophet's cousin. 10 years before the first revelation, the wall of the house of Kaaba split open to host the pregnant Fatima bint Asad, who was going to give birth to the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali. In 3 days after this incident, the wall of Kaaba was once again opened, ushering out Fatima bint Asad and her infant boy, Ali ibn Abi Talib, to the astonished crowds of Meccan polytheists. Therefore, Imam Ali was the only person in history who was born inside the house of Kaaba. With his childhood spent in the house of the God's Messenger and Lady Khadija, Imam Ali was the only person who had the chance to learn and appreciate the great morals of the Holy Prophet. In fact, Imam Ali was the special apprentice of the God's Messenger who followed the Prophet at all times and places. In the cave of Hira, when the God's Messenger received his first revelation, Imam Ali was there and he could hear and see whatever happened in that cave. Hence, Imam Ali was the first person to believe in the message of the Prophet, and he preserved his unwavering belief till the end of his life. During the time of the boycott, no one was allowed to do business with the Muslims. However, Imam Ali was the only person who left the valley of Sheikh Abi Talib in the dark night and purchased food and other essentials for the Muslims using the wealth of Lady Khadija. In these years, and due to these serious threats to the life of the Holy Prophet by orders of his father, it was Imam Ali who slept in the Prophet's place. When the Holy Prophet immigrated to Medina, Imam Ali openly accepted the risks and slept in the Prophet's place so that the Prophet could escape the polytheist assassins. Afterwards, Imam Ali returned everything assigned to the Prophet to their owners in Mecca, and then he took the family of the Prophet to Medina. The Prophet didn't enter the city of Medina until Imam Ali and the Prophet's family joined him at the city gates. After the migration to Medina, many people proposed to marry the Prophet's daughter, but the Holy Prophet always answered that this decision is only with God. On the second year after migration, and by God's orders, Imam Ali married Lady Fatima. The fruits of this marriage were 5 children, Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, Lady Zainab, Lady Umm Kulthum, and finally an unborn infant who was named Mohsen by the God's Messenger, but he was martyred in his mother's womb. During his residence in Medina, the Islamic Prophet pronounced a bond of brotherhood between himself and Imam Ali. Years later, the Prophet made a public statement on the day of Qadir Khum and introduced Imam Ali as his rightful successor, and everyone paid allegiance to Imam Ali on that day. However, the people soon ignored their allegiance to Imam Ali, and consequently, the leadership of the Muslim community fell to the hands of other rulers for 25 years. In all of these years, Imam Ali abided by the Prophet's orders and didn't rise up to claim his right. Instead, he busied himself with collecting the Holy Quran and helped the people with their judicial problems. In 25 years after the Prophet's demise, the frustrated Muslim community paid allegiance to Imam Ali as the next caliph, but not so long after that, they broke their allegiance once again and waged the Battle of the Camel in the year 36. After Hijra. During his tenure as the leader of the Muslims, Imam Ali never agreed to the suppressive reign of Muawiyah in Damascus. Imam Ali successively requested Muawiyah to resign his place as governor of Damascus, but Muawiyah chose to start a bloody war called Siffin in the year 37 after Hijra to keep his grasp over Damascus. In the end, Muawiyah could deceive a fraction of the army of Imam Ali and convinced them to agree to an arbitration that introduces the next Islamic leader. Muawiyah could also orchestrate the arbitration to select him as the caliph of the Muslims. The deceived fraction of Imam Ali's army, dubbed as Kharijites, waged the war of Nahrawan against Imam Ali in the year 38 after Hijra. 2 years after their defeat, one of the remnants of the Kharijites assassinated the 63-year-old Imam Ali while he was praying at the mosque.
Welcome back, dear brothers and sisters in Islam. The program Light Upon Light is a special episode on the birthday anniversary of Amirul Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. My congratulations to all of my dear brothers and sisters around the world, especially to the father and men out there, that today is their day. So before the break, you were talking about how the Prophet was so, he was such a popular personality for the kids that they would surround him. And then you wanted to say something about Imam Ali that I had to cut you off to go for the break. So please
The
go
same
ahead.
Character we can see in Imam Ali alayhi salam too. Like once when he visited the house of an orphan,
and he really wanted to make them happy, and they were not, you know, like he tried a lot. Like sometimes he would tell some jokes, you know, decent jokes, but still they were in not a happy. very sad mood. And the last trial was he started, Imam Ali alayhi salam started to make noise of goat's noise, like bah, bah, something like that. And he would get right, he would give right to the children, the orphan, and then he started to, like, you know, to act like a goat with his beautiful voice. And then they gave that big smile, you know. And then Imam Ali Islam, he would say, oh, now I'm the winner. I'm the Abul Aitam, you know, in my feelings. So this kind of amazing attributes which we can see for other children. So definitely the same father, more
reinforced,
like,
for his
no doubt about it. So even Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, once he was going to lead the prayers in the masjid, and the children did just catch him up. So what he said, he didn't say, I have to pray, this is namaz time, you know, the way we are a bit very strict. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with his that great position, he would be the first one to say salam, to greet them.
The
like he would feel so proud, you know. And then when he says that, I want to be remembered in a history, you know, and I would love people to know me as my sunnah, my character, my habit, that I'm the one who at-taslimu ala sibyan, who says first salam to the children. So definitely Imam Ali is the best, you know, follower. He's the nafs, he's the jan, he's the soul, he's the complete reflection of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and even Fatimah Zahra salamullah alayha. So they all would say first salam, you know, they all would be in first in greeting to children, to visiting whenever they are sick, you know, to giving them so much rights. Literally Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would teach ashab and companions that, you know, when your child comes, you know, don't stand, look, just sit down, come to their level. This is the teaching of Rasulullah.
High level conversation.
And they
and this is a time where we are talking about people that they are so ignorant that they don't know how to teach adults properly, leave aside children.
And especially when you know the time of something serious like namaz or something, you know, religious occasion comes, like even in Majalis Aza, Roza Khani, whatever, like serious
morning
kind
ceremony.
Of mourning stuff. Like people, they get very serious. You know, they don't like the presence of children. But the seerah, the beautiful attribute of Imam Ali was totally different. Like what Rasulullah is saying, okay, he's not saying that I have to go to the masjid. He's saying, can you replace me with some balls? And what was the balls in that time? Like people, the kids, they would love
their
to
toy.
Play. Yeah, the toy was what?
Walnuts,
yeah. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sent Bilal that bring that 8-9 walnuts, you know, full walnuts, that the children can play, and then I can go. Like this is the technique
you
of
know,
training.
To give them
a replacement. Exactly, replacement and diverting them,
attention.
Not just rejecting them,
exactly.
You know, harshly. Just diverting them, giving them something which they really like, you know, and just telling them, wait for a few minutes, I'll be back, just play with these, you know, toys. So this is the amazing way which our fathers can just
learn
from Imam Ali alayhi salam, from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam.
You know, I think that there's so much about Amirul Mu'mineen that definitely cannot be covered in this program. And I know that maybe a lot of people would have expected us to talk about how he was doing his khilafa, how he was exercising his role as an imam, and how he was so close to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. But I really think that for the Muslims today and for the Shias, this is a really big challenge, and this is a really great responsibility. That yes, like the verse that you started with, "Qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara." It's not just you saving yourself from hellfire; you have the responsibility of your family as well. You know, you have to guide them. And to my limited experience, I think the biggest help that parents can give is just unlimited love and support to their kids so that they will really be role models. You know, it's not important what you say, like, oh yeah, don't lie, you have to be generous, you have to be honest, you have to be this, you have to be that.
Islam believes a lot on touch, you know, the love. Like how much a reward we have if we do musafiha, shaking hand. Like musafiha. Look at these terms. You know, even qubla, kissing, qubla, how much emphasis we have.
Yeah.
Hugging, mu'aniqa. So don't just touch, no, tight. You know, like musafiha should be very tight.
Snug
Exactly. And that not only shaking hand, also, you know, hugging, tight hugging.
And so especially from the father, who is in some cultures known as like the tough figure. So I think that we can infer from our discussion that the father and his roughness, it just has to break at the doorstep as soon as he comes inside the house for his wife and for his children.
Exactly.
And to be the source of mercy and love and affection.
And one point I'd really want to add here that, you know, if our fathers, if they have daughters, so scientifically and also from Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, from Imam Ali alayhi salam, we learn a lot that, you know, the father should have very physical, you know, relationship means in that sense, touching, kissing,
hugging.
You know, putting hugging towards his daughters.
Right.
You know, if you're very close, you know, sometimes whenever, therefore we have hadith, aksiru qublata awladikum, aksiru. There's no limit. Yeah, like 10 times, 20 times, wherever, whenever, you know, you feel in a decent environment, you have to hug and kiss, and you will see the big change in your daughters. You know, this is wajib, something wajib. You have to give this dose every day to all
like
of your children. Yeah,
multivitamin. Thank you so much, Dr. Najafi. Thank you for staying tuned with us to Light Upon Light, a special episode on the birthday anniversary of Amirul Mu'mineen, Imam Ali alayhi salam. Congratulations to all of you out there, especially to the father and men, because today is your day. I hope that inshallah we can put to practice the discussion that we had today, at least to some extent. Until another episode, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
فدعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناديتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program, Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host Mahdi, and as always, we are joined by our Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Alaikum assalam, brother Mahdi, and assalamu alaikum to all the dear brothers and sisters who are listening to this program. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is all mine, brother. Well, dear audience, as you may know, the program Let's Recite the Quran consists of several Quranic parts. In this series, at first, we all are going to listen to a recitation of the Noble Quran recited by a famous reciter. After it, brother Muhammad will analyze that recitation, and at the end, we are going to listen to a short speech about the Noble Quran. Stay tuned, dear audience. We'll be right back. Today, in the first part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran, We all are going to listen to the recitation of Surah Al-Baqarah, verses 208 to 210, recited by Brother Muhammad Jawad Kashifi, the Iranian reciter.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا
Welcome back, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. You're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, and what you just listened to was recitation of verses 208 to 210 of Surah Al-Baqarah, recited by Brother Muhammad Jawad Kashifi. Now, Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Like we said in the previous program, Brother Muhammad Jawad Kashifi is a very good reciter, Iranian reciter.
He's from Mashhad.
From Mashhad, and yes, this is the second part and the last part of his recitation. The previous program was the first part of the recitation of Surah Al-Baqarah, verses 204 to 207. And from this, in this program, we have the same recitation, but from verse 208 to 210. يا أيها الذين آمنوا دخلوا يا أيها we have مد المنفصل
disjunct man.
Yes, because as you can see, the ya itself, even though it's connected to the hamzatul qatar, which is after it, but actually it has a small alif written on top of it. This indicates that ya is one word and ayyuha is another
word.
Even though that it seems to be one word, it's not. They're two words. Ya means oh, and ayyuha means you. Okay?
Yes.
So it's matul munfasil, and you can lengthen it to 2, 4, or 5 vowel counts. Ya ayyuhal ladhina. Ya ayyuha becomes Ya Ayyuhal Ladina. This is because you have a long vowel that's followed by Hamzatul Wasl.
Alladhi.
Alladhina. So the long vowel alif turns into the fatha, which is the short vowel
equivalent
or appropriate with respect to aliful mad. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. Amanu. Here we have a hamza with aliful mad. How do we know that the hamza should be pronounced like a long vowel alif and not a fatha?
Because actually the hamza is written just before the alif.
Yes. Or you could say that the alif is written right after the hamza. Yeah,
the same.
Yeah, the same. However, if the hamzatul qat' was written above the alif
or under it,
then you would have to pronounce the hamzatul qat' like a short vowel. For example, if it had a fatha, you would say we have a word aminu in the Quran.
Mm-hmm.
You would say, for example, aminu. We don't have amanu, we have aminu. Amanudkhul.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we have the same concept as the first Ya ayyuhal ladhina, the previous verse. We hear again, we have amanudkhulu. The long vowel of wawul mad is pronounced like a dhamma, the equivalent short vowel of the wawul mad, which
because
is dhamma.
Because
there's a hamzatul wasl after the long vowel.
Mm-hmm. And the sign of hamzatul wasl is this small sod just above it.
Yes, that's right. Then we have qalqala of dal. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanudkhulu. ودخلوا في السلم كافة. We have مد اللازم here because after the long vowel we have a shadda,
mm-hmm.
which is actually sukoon. They say that we have only one cause for
مد اللازم
and that is sukoon. Because shadda itself contains a sukoon, you would say that shadda is also one of the causes or means of Madul Lazim. So and you have to lengthen to six vowel counts.
Yes.
And at the end, you have to apply the special nabr, or the stress that is placed on at the end of the long vowel.
It is obligatory.
Of course, some reciters, they don't observe this rule. So it's, it's better if it is applied. For example, they say kafatan.
You mean you can ignore it?
It's not so important, but it's better if it's because, you know, this stress that is placed at the end on the fa helps us pronounce the letter with shadda. The shadda of the letter after the long vowel is heard more clearly when you apply this stress. For example, if you say غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. See, the lam, the shadda of the lam was not so clear. But if you say walallin, the lam, the shadda of the lam becomes a lot more clear when you say al.
So you have to apply it.
Well, yeah, it's better if it's applied. Yeah, it's a rule of tajweed. But it's not a major rule of tajweed because a lot of reciters, they don't pay attention to this. From what I've heard, like they mostly pay attention to it when they're reciting the murattal style. Like for example, if you listen to Sheikh Mahmoud Khalil al-Husari's recitations, he applies this nabr. This is not the nabr that we have for Hamza. Nabr means accent.
And this mad is obligatory.
Yes, the mad itself, the six vowel counts, is obligatory. And also the end, the nabr, is also important, even though some reciters, they ignore it.
You mean the shadda, or the tenseness?
The last part of the matul lazim, kafatan. See, we
emphasize.
At the end, we put the stress on the fa.
Thank you, dear brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. And now the third part of the program, let's recite the Quran. We all are going to listen to a short speech